Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Week in Reviews. My name is Simon Barrett, and I will be your host today. This is a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the entertainment world. Actually, one-on-one, well, it's a bit of a misnomer today, because it's going to be one-on-two, or maybe even one-on-three. My guests today are Jennifer Hurt and Lisa Austin. They have just started an interesting new television project called Cradle to the Grave. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
So, Lisa, I have talked to you before, but I've got to admit that I don't know Jennifer. It's been a while since we last talked, but before you bring us up to date on what the project has done since we last talked, but perhaps one of you could tell our listeners a little bit about Cradle to the Grave. What is it all about?
Cradle to the Grave to me is a new interpretation as far as a paranormal research approach. What we currently see on TV is pretty much all male-driven, all guys pretty much on the teams. And, you know, the old saying as far as female intuition, that we're supposedly more sensitive, things like that. And I've been doing this for a long time. And after doing it for a while, it became a, you know, not just a hobby, but it was like, well, maybe we could take it to the next level and try to do something more than that and put together an all-female team and see what happens, just to see if that actually would make any difference with an all-female group investigating locations. Also with our team, I'm a labor and delivery nurse. One of our other team members, Renee, is a neonatal intensive care nurse. And then we have Jenny and Chelsea. And Jenny runs a daycare and is, you know, extremely intuitive as far as being sensitive to things around her. And again, like I said, I thought it would be very interesting this putting this together and see what happens. And so that was kind of the drive, the idea of Cradle to the Grave.
We were talking before we went on air. You're in geographically diverse locations. How did you become a group?
Well, we're family and friends. That's the easiest explanation. We're family and friends. Jenny is my husband's niece, and then Renee is my coworker, and Chelsea is our daughter. So. Blood and friends.
Right. All becomes clear, or as the Germans would say, alles ganz klar.
Yes.
So, Jenny, is that what you'd like to be called, or would you prefer the more formal Jennifer?
No, Jenny is good.
So, Jenny, you run a daycare. That must be a challenge and a half.
It is. It's a busy, busy place. We have, as far as daycares go, about 270 children at our school. It's a pretty large school.
Daily in and out.
My goodness. I think that would drive me insane in about 15 minutes.
Well, the noise level can get to you sometimes, but, you know.
Right. So, let's talk a little bit about where Cradle to the Grave is at in the grand scheme of things. I understand that you're going to be attending something called Scarefest. Now, I don't know very much about it. What is it? Where is it? And what are you going to be doing?
Well, Scarefest is in Lexington, Kentucky, which is where I live. And so it's really convenient for us to be able to get together here. But Scarefest in and of itself is a horror and paranormal convention, the largest in the United States. And basically,
I was going to say a lot of people would compare it to Comic-Con, except for paranormal and horror.
Right.
Is it mainly a film festival or something different?
It's really a combination of a lot of different things. There are stars who are going to be there from movies, horror movies, paranormal movies, some of the current television shows. There's vendors. Malcolm McDowell is going to be there. He's doing a special showing of, Clockwork Orange. And, there's just a whole lot of events in and around it, from the, macabre to the mainstream.
Clockwork Orange, my word, that takes me back. That was a classic, classic movie.
Right. Yeah, no kidding.
So, when does Scarefest start?
It starts Friday.
Mm-hmm. Righty, and how long does it run for?
Through Sunday.
Okay. And Lisa, you're going to be heading out there, are you?
Yes, I fly out from California on Wednesday. I'll be back in Kentucky on Thursday.
Hey. Now, Lisa, what are you actually going to be doing at Scarefest? I mean, obviously you want to generate some buzz about Cradle to the Grave. Are you going to be giving a talk, showing some excerpts? Exactly what are you going to do?
That's a huge part of what we're going to be doing. We did have a booth there. We'll have banners, we'll have T-shirts, we have wristbands, we have all that stuff. And also, too, we do have a very limited amount of Blu-ray DVDs as far as contacting TV industry type people to give access to, but also too at our booth we're going to have a computer set up that we have a teaser trailer that we've been playing on our website online that we're going to continuously be playing that so people can kind of get a feel of what it is that we're trying to do, what our approach is, what our goal is.
Actually, that brings up an interesting question. Where is your web page so that listeners that can't make it to Kentucky, can watch the trailer?
Currently, you can check us out on Facebook. It's www.facebook.com/CradleToTheGraveTV. And then if you want to check us out on YouTube, it's www.cradle2thegraveTV.
Okay. When you actually roll the program out, what format are you going to go for, like an hour-long program or a half hour or what?
Aiming for an hour.
I was going to say, Jenny, I was going to say we're aiming for probably an hour. I don't like the half hour.
Right. There's not enough time to really, get to the meat and potatoes of any particular issue in 30 minutes. Going back to the trailer, you were kind enough to ship me a DVD, which I think is 15 minutes or so of the first episode. Fascinating stuff. Would you like to tell us about the pilot? You based it at a place called the Holbrook Hotel?
Correct.
Where is the Holbrook, and what's the story behind it?
It's in Grass Valley, California. It's in the old mining country of California. And originally the building was a gold exchange that miners would come and bring their gold exchange for money. And, of course, with the time, it was a bar. And it went through a history that there was burnings of the building and they rebuilt and so forth. And now it's the Holbrook Hotel, but it still has this part that's the Golden Gate Saloon, which is the longest-running saloon west of the Mississippi. But there's a lot of history, you know, as you can imagine, that time period. It was an elite hotel. There was presidents that stayed there. Many famous people stayed there. And also we found out that there was a gentleman that committed suicide. He was a gambler, and he split his throat and committed suicide in the hotel back like in 1927. And so, again, very history-drenched in this location when we went there. And it was an amazing experience. And I was very impressed, but I'll let Jenny tell you some of her impressions because it's just a very intense location.
Yeah. Jenny, tell us a little bit about it.
Well, you know, it's very beautiful and historical. You just have an air of feeling like you've kind of stepped back in time. You know, we definitely had some feelings and some experiences being in there. I don't want to give away too much from our show, but definitely, you know, feel that there's something going on. You know, there's just an air.
It's surprising. I'm not much of a ghost hunter myself, but you know, occasionally you go to a place and it's just different. You can't,
right.
I can't put my finger on it, but you know, there's just something about it.
Well, that's kind of the way this is. That you kind of can feel the history and the, you know, otherworldliness, you know, that we just don't experience, you know, in things that we see in modern day.
Right. I'm going to ask a question. I'm not being facetious. I'm really not. I don't want to sound rude or anything, but you know, I look back at famous movies like Ghostbusters, you know, which was obviously a comedic movie, and they had all sorts of magic gizmos. In the real world, do you take along any kind of special equipment?
We do, but it's not the type of equipment that you'd see in a movie-type setting. You know, there is specialized equipment that picks up energy fields, you know, recorders for picking up, you know, sounds that we can't hear with our ears, and, you know, night vision-type cameras so you can record without the distraction of, you know, lights can cause a lot of shadow and play. Now, there is specialized equipment, and I'm sure there's a lot more out there that, you know, could be utilized, but it's not like the Ghostbusters.
No, I didn't mean, you know, to sound like I was being facetious.
No.
In fact, it was about a week ago, I watched a fascinating documentary about the Bermuda Triangle, of all places, and it was a very serious program, and One of the segments involved flying in the triangle, and they actually had some specialized equipment that picked up electromagnetic
changes in the magnetic field.
Right. Is that the kind of equipment that you would use?
Not to that extent, no. We have EMF meters. Yeah, it's small scale. It's EMF meters, but it, like in your household, if you go to your box when you blow a fuse, that gives off EMF. And things like that around you, if you have high EMF readings, it can make changes within your surroundings. And some people are very sensitive to it, and then also some people think that gives energy to entities to present themselves.
Right.
It basically comes down to the idea that if there is something after you die, or, you know, what we're seeking out is more than likely going to present itself in some form of energy, because that's what stops happening when you die. The energy that you have, you no longer have. So where does that energy go? So the idea is that, you know, spirits or ghosts or whatever it is going to have an energy meter that you can pick up. But you have to also remember that there's a lot of natural occurring energy, and you have to do a lot of tests to make sure that it's not something natural or related to electric. But that's what those meters are looking for.
You bring up an absolutely fascinating point, and it is science. You can't create something out of nothing, and
right.
Something can't become nothing. So where does that energy go?
Right. And that's a very interesting question that we'd really like to, find some clarity on.
That is the big question, actually.
when you solve it, let me know.
That's our goal, you know. We all, I think all of us, you know, teeter back and forth with, you know, what do you believe and what do you not believe, and feel as though we have to experience or see it for ourselves before we can really put that stamp on there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the physics of putting together the program. Obviously, you need a small team. The more people involved, the more moving parts, the harder it is to achieve anything. What size team do you actually have? Like, there's obviously the four of you that are investigators, but you're probably not really good with sound equipment and video cameras and all of the rest of it. So, you know, in reality, how big a team do you travel with?
Our skeleton team is our four investigators, two camera people, and one sound person.
Right. And one of the camera people, would that be Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to keep him busy. For the listeners' benefit, I'm talking about Mike Austin, which is Lisa's husband. And Mike, if you're listening, hello.
Can you say hi?
Sure.
Yeah, he's in the same room with me, but he doesn't have a phone. But I can let him say hi. Just hang on a second.
Sure. Hello?
Mike, how good to talk to you.
Yes, same here.
I understand you're out in the wilds of Kentucky. Are you having a good time?
Yes, except the weather is quite horrendous today. But, we got in earlier this week to start doing prep work for the Scarefest, which I know you guys have been talking about.
Are you hoping for great things at Scarefest?
Well, of course. Of course. And there are actually a few stars and stuff that, admittedly, I'll be kind of excited to see, because Malcolm McDowell, I think, is quite impressive with his career. But, you know, we're really looking forward to trying to get our fan base boosted. And as I said, Scarefest is the largest event like that in the nation. And I think they had 12,000 in attendance last year, and they're expecting 15,000 over the three-day period this year.
Wow. I, actually, just before Jenny gave you the telephone, I had just opened the doorway to the question about the, you know, the physics behind putting a TV program together, and you might be the perfect person to answer the question. You kindly sent me a DVD which has a 15-minute segment from your pilot on it, and I have to admit that I thought the editing was extremely well done, and my little people whispered in my ear that the infamous Charlie Boswell had a hand in it.
Oh, absolutely. Charlie was hand in hand with he and I doing editing, and even though we're in different states, with him being in Texas and I'm out in California right now, you know how technology is progress with Dropbox and things like that. You know, we would work edits back and forth. The key thing that he contributed to what you were watching yesterday was he actually scored everything that you watched, which we are very, very pleased with.
Right. Yeah, he is quite the musician. And just for our listeners' benefit, Charlie Boswell may not be a name that you immediately recognize. However, he's quite well known in the in movie industry. His day job is director of digital entertainment for the chip making firm AMD. But he seems to spend most of his time actually doing stuff rather than managing stuff. He is a truly entertaining character. I'm sure you will agree with that, Mike.
Oh, yes, and he's just so amazingly multi-talented because he's able to do musician stuff. He knows all the ins and outs on anything technical as far as microprocessors and things like that, where that basically my aspect of it is I just know the film side of things. And trying to do the marketing on it, but he's been instrumental in all of this.
A technical question for you: the editing software that you use, is it Sony Vegas by any chance, or what?
Actually, it is. Yeah, he had been using Sony Vegas for years, and when I finally decided to get involved in this project. For financial reasons, I knew that I would have to be doing the bulk of the work. And so he recommended that, and I got it. I like it. And it allows us to be on the same page, like I said, when we're sending file formats and everything back together. And if I was having any technical problems, obviously, with him having done it that long, it was just as easy as a phone call, and he could walk me through it.
Right. I know that he is a big Sony Vegas fan. In fact, I'm working with him on a couple of other projects, and he browbeat me over Sony Vegas. And so I got me a copy, and I'll tell you what, I am so confused.
It takes a while to get it under your belt. But it's just so amazing when you think about where computers have come and the technology and the fact that we're doing, we're doing everything in high definition, and I'm able to do that out of a really small workplace And you saw the quality of the product, and that's stuff that couldn't possibly have been done 20, 25 years ago.
No, I've been in the computer industry for over 30 years, 40 years actually. Oops, I'm showing my age. I look at something like Sony Vegas and the end result, and I go, wow, you can do it all on a laptop. You can effectively create a movie with a tool on your desk. Whereas 20-25 years ago, you needed a room full of people and brutally expensive as well.
Yes, and the upside to that is that it's allowed artists to go ahead and be able to get their thoughts and ideas out via whether it be they're a musician or, like in our case, where we're trying to do television. It gives us the tools to make our ideas happen.
Right. Mike, I really want to wish you well at Scarefest, and I do hope that you're successful in placing this with one of the cable companies. How well are negotiations going? Are you getting an interest level?
Actually, we've already had a couple offers, and at this point, we're trying to get into the mainstream on one of the major cable networks. Obviously, I don't know if at first a regular network would be interested in it. But you have I don't know, at least 500 different cable stations. We've had a couple of independent new places that have made us a couple offers, which, it's good to already have options. But we certainly wanted to at least go to this major venue to see if there were any scouts there or producers that we can try to get exposure to.
Right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Right.
Well, you've seen the first 15 minutes. I definitely think that we have a very good product, and I think that we have a good concept with the hard and soft science, with the nurses, and I do personally think that women are more intuitive just in general than men are, and that's another part of the shows that are currently on television that's lacking.
Right. Lisa, do you think that women are more intuitive?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
No doubt in my mind. A lot of times we can tell you ahead of time if something's, that's a bad idea, I wouldn't do that. Yeah.
You sound like my wife.
That's what we do.
she spends a good deal of her time suggesting that I not do things. Usually
I'm planning what you have done wrong.
Right.
It just carries over on the paranormal. It's like you get a feeling going, yeah, I'm not going in that building. Yeah, that doesn't feel good. Let's go over here. That's
right.
What we do.
And obviously, before you go out and make more episodes, you need to place the pilot. But do you have a game plan of other locations that you plan on doing programs about?
One of the things that I'm hoping that we can get out of this is I would like for us to try to hit locations. I don't know how much of these shows that you watch, but once one show has gone to that location, then all of the other shows go there. And what we would like to do is try to find places that are new and do the paranormal investigations. Like with the Holbrook, nobody had ever done an investigation there before. And my personal belief is that would help our opportunities on finding something, and keeping the crew low, I think, helps as far as not disturbing the area too much. And again, I don't have any basis for this, but I would think that would increase your chances if there are ghosts or entities there. If you don't change things too much, that you stand a better chance of being able to capture something.
Mike, I asked you this question a while ago, but I'm going to ask it again because I love the story, and I think our listeners would enjoy hearing it. The Holbrook is an active hotel. I mean, you can't just walk in and say, "Hi, my name's Mike Austin, and you know, me and the crew and my investigators want to check for paranormal activity. So can you just throw all the guests out?" I mean, but that's not too far from the mark, as I recall. How did you arrange this?
Well, first, Lisa and I did some scouting. I took her because it was a twofold. I wanted her to find a place that she felt was sensitive, because I've talked to you before that I don't feel the same thing she does. And then on the flip side, from a videographer point of view, I was trying to find something that I thought would be visually appealing. And it just happened that the Holbrook was one of the places that we had ended up going and checking. And at that point, we got very fortunate because the owner, Ian Garfunkel, didn't apparently think I was crazy when I made the first phone call, and was very receptive and was allowing us to do that. We did do it on a Tuesday evening, which I'm sure in the industry is a slower time for them, which made it much more affordable for us to compensate him, you know, to be able to shut down the premises in that time. That time of year, I would assume early February up there, they're nothing like as busy. Had I tried to approach him for midsummer on a Saturday, I'm sure the answer would have absolutely been no.
Yeah, right. He'd have probably put you in a straitjacket and had you hauled away.
Yes, and the other concern we had is I didn't know personally if he doesn't believe in ghosts, because if this does well, obviously some people are going to be interested in going to the Holbrook and staying in certain rooms that they've heard about, and you would have to find a person who's receptive to having those kind of guests come stay at the location. The Stanley Hotel in Colorado, for instance, has totally embraced it. They do ghost tours and everything, and I'm sure that there are some managers or hotels or any type of business that wouldn't want that type of clientele, but obviously he's open to it.
The Stanley, now you mention it, is that the hotel used in the movie The Shining?
That's where the concept came from. Stephen King stayed there, but they didn't actually film at that hotel because Stanley Kubrick didn't think it was scary enough. Steven Spielberg, right? Stephen King writes one of the best books ever because it obviously frightened him, but Stanley Kubrick didn't think it looked scary enough. So I think they filmed the actual movie at a hotel in Washington. But yes, the Stanley's up in Estes Park, Colorado.
Ah, okay. Well, I'm looking at the clock here, and my producer is whining in my ear, so I need to wind this down. Lisa, I want to thank you for talking to us this morning. And
absolutely a pleasure.
Right. And I do hope you have fun in Kentucky. Mike, it's always fun to talk to you. Is Jenny still with you?
Yes, hold on for a second.
Hello again.
Hi, Jenny.
Jenny.
Hey. We're just wrapping up the program, and I asked Mike to give the phone back to you. I just want to thank you for taking time to talk with us this morning, and wish you every success at Scarefest.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for having us on. We're really excited.
My pleasure. Okay, this is Simon Barrett for Blogger News Network. I want to wish everyone a happy and safe and healthy day, and we'll be back again soon with another episode of the Week in Reviews. Till next time, goodbye.
Hello?